Accession number 28645, Reel 6.
So, oh, by that time I got myself engaged. Oh dear, yes. Young man who was studying law. That's right.
His name?
James. Jimmy. What was he called? Oh, she'll come back. So, I told my mother about this. My mother was very sensible. She said, "That's very nice, darling." And she had her grandmother's ring reset for me as an engagement ring. And
oh, she was quite happy for this to go ahead?
Oh, but she had plans.
Ah.
She had plans. She said, "Now, I think it would be a very good thing if I meet Jimmy's mother. And I think it would be a good thing if I can persuade her to let Jimmy come with us for a short holiday in the Dolomites. And then you can get to know each other better and how things go." So the mother was a harrod, and she was terrible.
Jimmy's anyway,
He had a brother who was about 20 years older than he, half brother. And he was a sort of afterthought. I don't know, it was, we didn't talk about it very much, but he didn't get on at home. So my mother, with her dulcet tones, persuaded. I wish I could remember her name. She'll come. And so we set off. And we went to Venice.
How many in the party? Four then?
No, no. Oh no, just my mother and Jimmy and I. And off we went to study Europe. Well, Jimmy's shortcomings gradually came to light. By the end of the journey, I was definitely disengaged. My mother was very clever. She took us to all the most beautiful places, and Jimmy made silly remarks about them that didn't fit. Certainly didn't fit with my idea of what you should use in descriptions of places. So it all fell through. And I left Edinburgh. That was that.
You left the university? So you
I left the university.
You only up 1 year?
2 years.
Okay.
So I left Edinburgh, and we decided to travel. So it was then my mother sold the house and put together her small pittance and the interest from the house. And off we went, like snails with our houses on our backs. And we started. Ah, yes, I went to Bolzano, as it is now called. That's right, on one of our evenings out, singing and drinking, when we'd been there with Jimmy. Yes, and he made a fool of himself at one of those evenings. That's right. That was the end as far as I was concerned. Anyway, we met this couple, and I said I thought I'd like to learn German. So the couple said, well, they'd take me in as a paying guest. So that was all arranged. So we finished... We finished Edinburgh, and I went home, and we got everything ready, and off I went to Bolzano to stay with these people and learn German.
Forgive me, but where's Bolzano?
Bolzano is in the south of the Dolomites. It used to be the Austrian Dolomites until Wilson put his syphilitic finger into it. And
he's the president.
Yeah. God, he made a mess of that piece. A shocking mess of that piece. As an excuse, they said he was syphilitic. I don't know. Anyhow, Never mind, he handed over the whole of the south of Austria, the Dolomite region, to the Italians.
In 1919?
Yeah. And that was an enormous tragedy. It was absolutely terrible. And they were suffering from it when we were there. And oh, there was a dreadful atmosphere. They made, if they just left them alone and let them keep their names and so on, but they didn't. And they forbade them to learn German in schools, and they made them all turn their names into Italianate versions of the German. And all the places were renamed, because Bolzano was Boetzen. So we always used the German, of course. And all the people were German-speaking. It was a terrible business. Quite dreadful. However, so off I went, and I used to spend a little time down in Boetzen, but it was terribly hot. So they took me rooms in a villa, nice wooden villa up in the woods on a hill near Boetzen, where everybody used to go for the weekend. And I had a pension food with a little restaurant up there, and it was a blissful time. It really was lovely. I had a balcony, and the fir trees, so some of the branches used to come out over the balcony, and the fir trees were full of red squirrels. They used to dance about on my balcony. It was absolutely lovely. And I had a delightful girl teaching me German. And she used to take me walks through the mountains as well. She was an adorable person. She was lovely. We had a lovely time. It was a very happy time, that was. And then we wondered what to do next. And my mother thought that I'd learnt enough dialect German, because it was a bit dialect in the Dolomites. And she thought we'd better go and do some proper German. And she settled on Munich. So off we went to Munich, and on the way we called at the White Horse Inn. You heard of the White Horse Inn?
Yes, of course.
The musical? Mm. Right. Well, it exists. It's a proper place.
May I just ask, how long were you in Bolzano?
Oh.
Weeks or months?
July, August, September. I think it was probably about 3 months. But these things I can't be quite exact about.
No.
So on the way, we stopped in Austria, because we thought we'd like to see the proper White Horse Inn, which we did, and we stayed in it. And it was great fun, because it was exactly like the musical set, and it was on the lakeside. And you went to Salzburg in a reasonable train, and then you got onto a small train, which went through along the lakeside, right along to the next big railway junction, which was beyond Bad Ischl. And it was a ducky little train with a beautiful high chimney, and it chugged along at about 20 miles an hour all the way around the lake. And the local people used to say, as a joke, they used to say that you're not allowed to pick flowers on the way. It really did go extremely slowly. It was lovely. Puffing smoke. Then you arrived at a landing stage, a little station. And the first time we arrived there, there was some sort of potentate arriving, a mayor or something was visiting. So they had the village band on the stage. It was lovely. We had the village band, and we came off with the band playing. Then you got onto a little steamer, a ferry. You ferried across the lake, and then you landed at a landing stage, which was part of White Horse Inn. So that was absolutely lovely. We stayed there. I don't know how long we stayed there, but it was quite long enough for me to get... They had a dancing company, you know, who did the local dances. And they fished me in on the first evening, and after that I danced with them. And when I went back three or four times to the White Horse Inn. But, you know, people who were killed, people who weren't there anymore, that was later on. So I had a lovely time. Those dances are such fun. So we stayed there, and then we went on to Munich and settled in there. We had bedsitters. My mother landed on an absolute dragon, and I landed on a very peculiar countess. She was very odd. I don't know, we all seemed to land on odd things. And we started a course in German. And then we got absorbed into the Hitler myth. Thoroughly absorbed. Everything was... See, that was 35.
I make it the autumn of 34, but...
I think it's more like 35.
All right.
And we got thoroughly absorbed. We became absolutely rabid Nazis. And everything looked beautiful. It looked so good. And he was there at the time. That was when we met him. And I remember he used to give speeches, of course. And there was one in the Turnhalle, great big rotunda. And we decided, of course, we had to go and listen. And in those days, I don't know if I told you, it was a fashion to have very wide belts. Don't know if we recorded that.
Yes, we did.
We recorded that. Because I had it torn off me.
Yes, you lost it.
That's right. And we had the return of the heroes. Did I tell you about that?
No.
Well, in the putsch that had 13 of the brown shirts were killed. And they decided to bring them back to Munich and give them burial with full honours. And the whole place was set up for it, and it was an absolutely extraordinary sight. There's a huge long avenue which leads up to what they call the Feldherrenhalle, which means the heroes of the field. And it's an Italianate building at the end of this avenue. And the whole of the avenue, miles of it, had these huge bowls of light, of flames. Like the nice one they used to have for the Olympic Games. Now they have a silly little squirt coming out of the end of something. The Greek one was absolutely impossible. And these bowls were set just about as far apart as this room is wide, all the way down on both sides. And then the brown shirts marched with hundreds of the red flags. It was incredible. Quite amazing. The atmosphere was huge. People were crying and, oh, it was absolutely incredible. And the whole atmosphere in Munich at that time was, of course, pro-Hitler, naturally. We didn't know about the bad things. We just didn't know. Germany was put back to work, people were working, people were in jobs, they were making money again, they got the Rhine back, they'd walked into the Rhine, they got the Tsar back. They were really riding a wave. And one was taken up with it, and one didn't know anything about the bad side of what was happening. And of course, then we were there for the 1936 Winter Olympics.
So you were in Munich for over a year?
No, it was shorter than that. Because in January...
The 36 Olympics were in early in...
Yes, they were in January. The Olympics. And they were in Garmisch-Partenkirchen. You want that spelled?
Yeah, I know it, thank you.
Good. We used to get up at 5 every morning and get onto a train that was so full that it was dripping people off at the sides. And off we went to Garmisch-Partenkirchen. We used to get back late at night. We did the whole of the Winter Olympics like that. They were all outdoors, of course. There was nothing covered. That was the last year Sonja Henie won the skating. After that, she went off and became an ambassador. And
a German ambassador?
No, from America. Sonja Henie. She was American.
I didn't know that name at all.
She was a champion solo skater woman for several years at various things, and I think she did 2 Olympics. She was a Norwegian, I think, as far as I remember, but she lived in America. She was actually American nationality, and she gave up skating and she took up politics. And she became an ambassador. So we saw her skate the last time she won the gold medal. And I remember the Americans were playing against the Canadians, and if the Canadians won, we won. It was one of those peculiar things. So of course we were pro-Canadians, and it was an open court that they played. Well, everything was open actually. All the ski jumping, the skating, everything was open. We froze. We absolutely froze. There was a little man next to me with a pair of binoculars, and he was watching the play, and every now and again he'd leap up and down. There's another tooth gone. Oh, it was vicious. It's pretty vicious now, but they wear all these guards now. They didn't wear them then. They had their teeth knocked out left, right and centre. It was terrible. It was vicious. Dear, oh dear. So we did that. Then we went back to Munich, and by that time we'd been in touch with a gentleman who suggested I should go and learn proper German. Bavarian wasn't proper German. I still hadn't got proper German. In Berlin. And so off I went to Berlin to stay with an Egyptian professor. Oh no, a professor of Egyptian, of an Egyptian subject, not an Egyptian. And that was a whole other story, another section of life, totally different.